We'd like to say good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas. I'm the co-host of this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. Brother Tommy Brooks is the host minister of this call. He's also the minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights. Tonight, his subject is The Wise Man, coming from the theme, Make It Plain. Brother Brooks, make it plain to us tonight about The Wise Man.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we're thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are now members of the Church of Christ. Let's get right into the lesson tonight about making it plain about the wise man. We heard about the foolish man last night from Brother Jeffrey Beal. Appreciate him so very much for opening up on this discussion. However, the wise man is the piece that I want to really talk about tonight. I want to go to Solomon. King Solomon was known as the wisest man that ever lived. God said in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 12, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. This is the book of Proverbs written by Solomon, and Proverbs is a short saying, the truth of which is evident immediately. It compares between common images and life's most profound truths. So in chapter 1 of Proverbs, the Bible says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, I like when you do me something tonight, a favor for me, and that is to visualize sitting across the table, if you had an opportunity to talk to and listen to the wisest man that ever lived, and sit there and listen to his advice tonight as we start with him. We'll close with Solomon as well. In verse 2, he says, to know wisdom. This is why Solomon is writing the book of Proverbs. And he says, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding. The first reason we need to know wisdom, we need to know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of being wise, intelligence, brought on by experiences. It is a store of knowledge that is converted into teaching. What else? Not only wisdom, there's instructions involved. So what is instruction? Instruction is the act of being instructed. These Proverbs gives us, Solomon gives us, the quality of being wise and the discipline to receive instruction. To receive instruction, my friends, is to be wise. Some people don't want to receive instruction, but that is not a wise person. Verse 2, he said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. What else would Solomon want us to know from Proverbs? To perceive the words of understanding, or to become aware of or discern through understanding. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. This book will teach us that wise people will receive instruction of wisdom, the act of being wise. To receive the instruction on justice, of doing what's just. They will receive the instruction in judgment, dealing with others, and they receive the instruction in equity, doing what's fair. Now, to give subtlety to the simple, the young man knowledge and discretion. Solomon gives subtlety, prudence, or foresight to the simple. Solomon gives the young man knowledge and discretion, or the ability to be discreet, ponder or think about something before they do it. Notice Solomon specifically mentions simple and young people. I believe, as we've done on this program, is keeping everything very basic and very simple. The simple man can understand through Proverbs, and they can gain the knowledge and discretion. Now, in verse 5, here's where I really want to hone in on one word here. In verse number 5, a wise man will hear. Here is the key word. A wise man will hear. If you keep taking notes, pay attention to how much we're going to talk about here tonight. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Solomon has a message for people of all ages. But only the wise will hear. Now, my question is, are you a wise person? You should know when I finish if you fall in that category as a wise person. Notice he says a wise man would hear, number one. A wise man will increase learning. If a man wants to understand, he will obtain or seek guidance from wise counsel. In other words, you're careful about who you get your advice from. You have to learn, hear, learn, and get guidance to be a wise person, to understand the dark sayings of the wise. Now, that means if you're not listening, you won't understand what they're teaching. But if you're listening with an ear to hear, then you can understand the very simple teaching. And the Bible is full of nothing but simple teaching. Listen to Solomon's guidance here in verse 7. The fear of the Lord, notice what he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, they dealt with fools last night. But the fear of the Lord or the wise man is the beginning of the information or the knowledge that he must have. Solomon says the first sign of a wise man with knowledge is that individual will fear the Lord. Anyone who doesn't fear God is not a knowledgeable, wise person. Why? Because this is the beginning of knowledge, and everything has a beginning. No man can ever be wise who does not fear, who do not fear God. Amen. The fool will despise or refuse wisdom, and they will refuse instruction. A fool doesn't want to learn. They don't want to be taught. Now, if we're going to come back to Solomon, that's chapter 1 of Proverbs. Now, listen to Jesus use the same type of terminology. Now, in the parable in Matthew chapter 7, there were two builders. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, and that word heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, watch what he says now, I will liken unto him as a wise man. That's my topic, making it plain about a wise man. Jesus said the wise man will hear his sayings, and which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. It was founded upon a rock. And everyone, there it is again, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now Jesus paints the picture of two builders. Notice the point of similarity to the two builders. Both builders heard the sayings of Jesus. In America, the Word of God is available for everyone to hear, and they're hearing from God. Both saw the necessity of building a house. Most people know they should seek God, but they don't. Both of these individuals actually built a house. No action is action. Both of their houses were exposed to the storms. All of us, whether we're wise or fool, we'll be exposed to death, tragedy, trials, and tribulation that life will come our way. Both of these individuals rested with a feeling of security. Many people feel all they got to do is believe in God and just do whatever they want to do, be good people, feel in their heart that they're saved, and they feel secure in their salvation. But did they listen to Jesus? Did they hear what Jesus said? These sayings of mine. Notice the points of differences in these two builders. They differed in their personal character. One was wise and one was a fool. They differed in the foundation on which they built. The wise built on a solid foundation and the fool built on sand. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and built it thereon, but let every man take heed how he built it thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the only foundation that you can lay on to be saved is Jesus Christ. So that's why Jesus said, if any man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. So when we start talking about being saved, it's about what Jesus said, not about how you feel, about what your mother said or what my mother said, about what our grandfather said or what Reverend Joe said or Father so-and-so said. It is not about that. To be saved, we got to have ears to hear. Now, notice, when Jesus was speaking to these people, all the people had ears. But they all said, but Jesus said, you got to hear. You have to have ears to hear. We must be careful a man-laid foundation. Let me say it like that. You be careful about man-laid foundation. That's what we see today in all these different churches on every corner. These are man-laid foundations. The Bible is teaching us there's only one foundation for other foundations called no man lay, Paul said, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the two builders had two different results. The wise builder, his house stood against the storms. The foolish builder, house fell, and great was fall. Now, the greatest fall for anyone is to lose your soul. That's the greatest fall. A fool will lose his soul. Now, I want to go to Ecclesiastes now. Let's go over there back to Solomon again. Go back and sit across the table from him. And let's go to chapter 12. If I had time, I'd do all of chapter 12 for you, because it's really talking about the aging process, how we're getting gray hair and our teeth are wearing out and all these things are going on. But we can't hear as well. He was just going down the aging process, how you go from youth to old man in life. Life is a countdown. We celebrate birthdays, I just want you to know tonight, when you celebrate your birthday, remember you're celebrating a day closer to your death. Now, here we are. Stay with me right now. Think with me. Because do you have an ear to hear what I'm getting ready to say? Listen to the wise men that ever lived. In verse 5, I just start there. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. That's your gray hair. When you get older, you're afraid of heights and fears. Your hair turn gray. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Like little kids, then you can't stand them. When you get old, you don't want to run around, jump around everywhere. Desire shall fail. Because here's what I want to be though. When you get older, you see all these things happening to your body. He's saying, man goeth to his lone home, and the mourners go about the streets. What are you saying to us, Solomon? Listen to this. He says now, the wise man is telling us we're going to a long home. The funeral is near. The older we get, the closer we are to death. And the mourners are in the street. In other words, folk going to that love you are going to mourn when you die. So the closer you get, the older you get, the closer you are to death. The funeral is near. And at this point, my friends, you're standing at the door of death. Mourners would cry as a person is headed to their long home. Verse 6, he says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. The silver cord is the death is the snap of the silver cord of life. Death breaks the golden bowl of life. Death breaks the pitcher that contains the fountain of life. And death is the wheel broke at the cistern or wheel. What is Solomon teaching us here? As you sit across and listen to him, what are you saying? He's helping us to understand, my friends, that death is irreversible. It can't be repaired. It can't be undone. There's no undo button on it. Once we die, it's over. This life is over. We'll never live again in this life. What is the message? This is a message to all of us, no matter what age we are. From the young to the old guy. But verse 7, he says, when that happens, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. When life is over, the body goes back to the dust, and the spirit that God gave us returns, which is our life, our breath, returns to God. Nothing else in this life matters. So what does all this mean? In verse 8, he says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. All the stuff in life that we would deal with has no meaning. Why is that, Brother Brooks? Well, anytime a person is not wise, they will live life without God. And when you live life without God, you live the meaningless life. And the reason is meaningless because you were not wise. You did not hear the sins of Jesus. The one event of death would happen to us all. Verse 9, he said, moreover, the preacher was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Solomon was a wise man of living. He examined life. Solomon tried to live the life of a fool in chapter 1, 2, and 3. He tried life without God. He tried pleasures of life in chapter 2. He tried labor and pleasures and all these things. He came with a conclusion that all this stuff that we go through in life, if we leave God out, was vanity. It was meaningless. All your work mean nothing. Meant nothing. Your pleasure, all the things you enjoy, means nothing. And I'm going to tell you why when he comes to his conclusion here. Understand this. You can work all your life to get all this stuff in life and die and leave everything to a fool. And we know that this happens all the time when people leave God out of their life. But Solomon's teaching us something here. The preacher sought to find out, except the word, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. The word of truth, which is the Bible, the word of God, would cut the heart of man by telling him what he needs to know. If he or she were here. If you were here, you can be wise. Two tools are used here in this text. Goads, a prod with a short point used to motivate animals to move. Nails, which secures with what the master assembly symbols. The words of this preacher should prod us. The word of God should prod us to secure a relationship with the one shepherd. It secures. It should prod us to secure a relationship with him. We should want a relationship with God. In Hebrews 4:12, the Hebrew writer says like this, and for the word of God is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul, of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, when a person will open their ears and hear the word of God, it will change their life. It will change you, and you can have a secure relationship with God, but you got to hear the words of God. Verse 12, in Ecclesiastes 12, further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study and weariness of the flesh. There is no end to the study of life and many books. Many books are written to go on and on studying about life, which is called weariness of the flesh. Solomon should know. He did it. He examined, found even the wisest man could not know it all. So what is he telling us? Don't try to understand everything about life, because I'll give you a conclusion. Here it is. Here's what Solomon wanted to conclude. After he went through all this stuff in Ecclesiastes, he talked about life. In verse 12, chapter 12, verse 13, here comes the conclusion about your life. It's the dash between the day you were born and the day you die. I got a question. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Are you hearing? Will you hear the conclusion of the matter of your life tonight? He said, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Nothing else matters in life. Did you hear that? The whole duty that you've been given by God is to fear him and keep his commandments. And then he says, why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What a conclusion. Young men, young ladies, mamas, daddies, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, sister, whoever on the call listening, death is the end of chances. It's the end of chances to hear God's word. It's the end of chances to get your life right. Why are we doing this call? Who are we talking about tonight? The wise. Wise people were here. What were they here? The word of God. They were here instructions, all told Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15. And that from a child that has known the Holy Spirit will be able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what's going to make us wise. It's the scriptures. All scripture, here it is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, watch it now, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Who are the wise? Those who hear the word of God and obey it. In Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The wise man will hear and believe what Jesus says about salvation. I'm going to just tell you, people that they're not going to be saved because they don't believe the Bible. If a person is a believer that the house is on fire, they get out of it. If you can show people who are wise that they're going to die if they stay in that house, they don't have questions. They don't want to debate the matter. They want to get out of the house that's going to burn up and kill them. The Bible is telling us what we must do to be saved. A wise man who wants to be saved, a wise lady, man, will hear and believe what Jesus say about salvation. It doesn't matter what Brother Brooks say. No matter what Billy Graham say or Franklin Graham. Doesn't matter what the Pope says. A wise person will hear what Jesus said. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You don't question blood baptism. When Jesus said, if any man is wise, he'll hear my words. He gave that command, Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said be baptized, there should be no more questions. Nobody should be debating whether baptism is essential or not. It's essential to the wise man who heard the words of Jesus. The wise man will hear and believe what Jesus said about salvation. You shouldn't have to have 10 scriptures or 20 scriptures to prove baptism is right. It's right the first time Jesus said it. If any man, hear these words of mine and do it them. It was Jesus who said, the same Jesus you say you love, I will liken unto him as wise man. Are you wise? The wise man will hear and believe what Jesus said about building his church, Matthew 16:18. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. My means personal. It's his church. And we've been preaching on this program, if you believe the Bible, you can only believe in one church. You can only believe in one because it belongs to Jesus. And Paul writes in Romans 16:16, he calls it out. Salute one another with holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. That body, according to Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1:18, and Colossians 1:24, that body is the church. So you cannot read this book and believe in any church would do. You can't do it. The wise who hear from Jesus will believe only in one church. The wise will be seekers to hear what is true worship. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship. God seeks only the wise who seeks to be true worshipers. The wise will hear and learn how did Jesus worship, how did the apostles worship, how did they worship. Well, I'm talking about worship. On a Sunday, when you go to what's called going to church, well, the church symbols to worship, and they sing. In the New Testament, they would sing. No instrumental music. They would pray. They would take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They would take a collection, and they were here to preach word. Now, they take communion not on just once a year, in April, when we call Good Friday. Every Friday is good to me. Every Friday is good. Let me just point out something since it is the Good Friday morning. And we know that this is a predominantly Catholic doctrine, but it's false. It's false. Remembering communion, remembering the suffering Savior, Christians did that. They remembered that he died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried and rose again the third day. This is found in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This is called the gospel. Easter. Had nothing to do with Christianity. Had nothing to do with Christianity. I just tell you every Easter sermon, here's my 2-minute sermon on Easter. All you got to do is use some common sense because you're not going to find it in the Bible. Yes, Easter is in the Bible. The word is, but not a Christian. The Christians did not. It had nothing to do with Christianity. Say it like that. Let me say it this. I want y'all to use some common sense. And Brother Brooks was one told you. Go ahead and write my name by the note. Why would God use a rabbit to lay colored chicken eggs and tell us to remember his son's resurrection after all he went through once a year? That's nowhere in the Bible. It's not in there. Where did it come from? Well, Jesus, before he got to that parable in Matthew chapter 7, he said this, that there will be false prophets. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothes, but inwardly they are raving wolves. He had already talked about that before he got down to the parable of two builders. And false prophets are out there today teaching these false doctrines. If you are looking to be a true worshiper, then you'll be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Why? Because that's what the apostles did. Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together and ate bread. Jesus said in Luke 22:19, this my body was given you, this do in remembrance of me. The apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Before I received the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's what he told them to do. So when do we remember Jesus? Do we remember him on this day called Easter? No. What do we remember him? Every first day of the week. The day of the resurrection was on the first day of the week. And the New Testament, all those Christians in the New Testament, they worship on not on the seventh day, but on the first day, because that was the day of resurrection. And what Jesus commanded, that's what we do to remember him. Now, are you in a church where you're not taking communion every Sunday? Have you had the ear to hear this tonight? Are you listening to me? Because the wise people have ears to hear. So what must you hear? What must you hear to be saved? What must you know to be saved? You must hear that Jesus died on the cross for your sins according to the scriptures. But I just want to remind all of us on the call today, before you start just talking about Jesus, remember this. He didn't just die. He didn't die of a natural death. He didn't die of a heart attack. No, he didn't. What he died of, he died from being brutally beaten with a whip. They spit on him. They mocked him. They slapped him. They hit him with a clenched fist. They hit him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him with a whip, left stripes all over his body. Then they led him to Calvary. They executed him by crucifixion. They drove nails in his hands and in his feet, and he hung on that cross for us. He hung on the cross for us. He hung there 6 long hours on the cross, and then he died for our sins according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He was buried after he died. He died on that cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And yes, he resurrected early one Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power, and he gave the command that I talked to you about tonight. You don't have to have no more information what I gave you tonight, that you believe that Jesus died. You didn't see him. It comes by hearing. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that taught us what Jesus did. It's the word of God that taught us how God loved us in John 3:16. It teaches us how Jesus said, greater love have no man than this, he lay down a life. If you hear God's word, then you know God loved you. You know his son loved you. You'll remember why he died on that cross. You'll be thankful for the blood he shed. He pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water. Blood and water required to save your soul. You must hear the gospel, number one. That's the good news. The sad news is good news. It's sad news that he had to go through that for all of us. It's sad news. He had to die to start his church, and he did it. He purchased the church with blood. It's sad news to tell the story. It ought to make you want to cry. It ought to make you want to mourn to know Jesus had to go through all of that for us, and then he write it in a book, and we won't do what he said. Wise people would do what Jesus said. They don't question one church. They don't question baptism. They don't question taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. They don't question worship. They want to be true worshipers. They're going to do it the way Jesus said, do it. When people are wise, they just say, tell me what the Lord said, do it, I'll do it. Now, are you wise? Then if you've heard tonight, you'll believe. You'll repent of your sins. Say, I can't keep going to a church that don't remember Jesus every Sunday. I don't want to be in a church that don't wear the name of Christ. I don't want to be in a church that don't baptize for the remission of sins as Peter taught them in Acts 2:38. I don't want to be in a church that won't do what Jesus said, do. This you do in remembrance of me. Now, they'll take your money every Sunday. They'll take your money, but they won't let you remember your Lord every Sunday. Something wrong with that. Be wise. Hear this gospel tonight. Repent of your sin. Be willing to confess your belief that Jesus is the Son of God before men. Jesus said this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? He said, if you confess me before me, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. And you can't deny him. You can't confess him until you say, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. That's what he did. He said it. He believed that Jesus Christ was Son of God. Philip asked him. And he said, here's water. What's stopping you from baptizing? And he made that confession. And that's what you have to do, my friends, tonight. You have to make that confession, and then you have to be baptized right then for the remission of sin. Baptism ain't something you plan 3 weeks later because you want to get baptized so your whole family can see you. Baptism is for those who are in the burning house. They believe they're in the burning house, and they want out right now. They want out today. Today, if you don't believe, you'll put off baptism. You don't want baptism. If you believe, you know baptism saves, 1 Peter 3:21. Now, if you're on the call tonight, I spoke the truth in love. That's what I've done. I do that. I believe in it. I'm telling the truth. But here's what you need to do. Check your ears, and then you'll find out if you're wise. But let's not forget the conclusion of the matter here tonight. My question is, did you, at your death, will you be able to say, I feared God? That's my lesson tonight. If you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, we pray you obey. I spoke the truth in love. I want you to obey the truth like many have done on our program. Just be wise about your decisions when it comes to your soul.